Hi there, and welcome to The Forum, a podcast by staff. This episode sees us catch up with Youth Just Us, who are the steering group of Youth Justice Voices, our participation project we deliver in partnership with CYCJ. Late last year, the young people worked with YouthLink Scotland and No Knives Better Lives to develop Nae Danger, a new interactive game where we get to meet Darren and find out about his experience of knife carrying. The game can be played with between 5 and 50 players, making it great for classrooms and other youth work settings. It can be played over Zoom, Teams, or Google Meet, which is great under the current circumstances. Using phones or a web browser, players make the decision for Darren and choose how the story plays out throughout the game. There are mini games where players can add their own spin on the story. With players making the choices, they are immersed in the experience, which allows for a different take on discussions of really serious topics. I had a lovely conversation with Chris and Ashley from Youth Just Us. We were also joined by Emily Beaver from YouthLink Scotland and Ruth Caricher, who leads on all of our youth justice participation work here at staff. We join them as they tell us about their involvement in this project. I'll start today by asking our guests to introduce themselves. Emily.
Hi, I'm Emily Beaver. I'm a Senior Development Officer at YouthLink Scotland and I work on the No Knives Better Lives programme.
Thank you. Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris. I was one of the young people in the group who helped design the game and also voiced over one of the characters.
Fab, thanks Chris. And Ashley?
Hi everyone, my name's Ashley and I voice one of the characters in the game.
Perfect, thanks Ashley. And Ruth?
Hi, I'm Ruth Caricher. I work between staff and CYCJ on Youth Justice Voices and I supported the young people from Youth Just Us to help create and voice over the game.
Thanks everyone. I'm really looking forward to our conversation this afternoon. I'm going to come to you first, Emily. Can you tell us a bit about YouthLink Scotland and what inspired this particular project, please?
Sure. So YouthLink Scotland is the national agency for youth work here in Scotland. And as part of YouthLink, we also house the programme No Knives, Better Lives, which is a youth violence prevention programme, specifically at the moment focused on knife carrying. And really, we were looking for a way that was quite new and engaging for young people around our messaging, particularly around bystander intervention and what young people can do if they know that a friend is carrying a knife. And that's what really led us to try gaming as a brand new approach so that young people could really have a go at making decisions that they might try out in real life, but without the real life consequences.
Great, really exciting stuff and really important messages around the bystander position for young people to have a shot at that before they might find themselves in that situation. We were really delighted that our Youth Justice Project here at staff were able to be involved in this work. Ruth, can you fill us in a little bit now on the work that Youth Just Us have been involved in and what you led us to work with YouthLink?
Yeah, sure. So Youth Justice Voices is our national participation project in which we run in collaboration with CYCJ. And the project focuses on amplifying the voices of care and justice experience young people in Scotland. So it's open to young people aged 16 to 25 who really want to influence change and get involved in creative opportunities where they can make issues and recommendations for change. The whole project's led by young people. So that's led by our youth-led steering group, which is called Youth Just Us. And we've been going since April 2019. We've got an amazing group of young people who are really passionate about driving change, who are really creative, and have got a lot of important things to say. So they've taken part in a range of different things in terms of influencing. So they've influenced the Disclosure Scotland Bill, meeting with Marie Todd, the Children and Young Persons Minister. They've been involved in the Independent Care Review. We've met Scottish Parliament around UNCRC. And then during lockdown, we've also got really creative and still kept that sort of fun element. But we've done a whole host of things from newsletters, Artivism Art Project, to influencing the Scottish Government's next Youth Justice Policy and Action Plan. So in terms of getting involved, I was looking back before we did the podcast, and I think I got an email from Emily, would have been May 2020, and she'd read a blog that was written about what Youth Just Us had been doing during the pandemic, you know, to stay creative, stay connected and continue an influence in policy. So she came with us with quite a loose plan, really, just about getting young people together, just to have a bit of a conversation about what their interest would be involving in the game. But like anything, it was up to the young people if they wanted to take part. So we put it to the group and they were keen to take part as long as they got an incentive. But it actually developed from the first session that we thought it was something really exciting, really important, and a chance for us to get creative. So it sort of really took off from there.
Yeah, thanks. We're really pleased that Chris and Ashley have been able to join us today. Chris, you're one of the members of Youth Just Us. How did you get involved in this? And what were your first impressions of working with No Nice Better Lives and the designers of the game, Pocket Sized Hands?
So I got involved for just being a part of the group. Ruth came along and said there was someone from YouthLink who had this idea about a game, and they needed a bit of advice, maybe we'd call it advice, on how to make the game fit for young people. My first impressions of them were the people was really nice, but quite a few of us said the game was too clean. I'll give an example. It was like a hospital. It was too sterile. There wasn't any rough tumbles around it. So that was my sort of first impressions of them.
Okay, and what about you, Ashley? What were your first impressions?
I had similar. We had spoke about graffiti being in the walls, the pavement's been cracked. But I loved it. I am really creative. And I've written scripts and I've performed scripts to have an actual script, because there was a choice to read it or to have it. And I was can you please send me an actual script? And I remember getting it and I was so excited. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I think what you're saying about the environment that the game takes place in is really important as well, as the voices, isn't it? As the environment that's around the characters. Okay, so following on from that, can you tell us a bit about the process of getting the game designed and any challenges you came across? I'll come to you first, Ruth, and then we'll hear from Chris and Ashley and then Emily. So, Ruth.
Yeah, well, I suppose for all of us, the biggest challenge was, I think in July when we had the first session, so we'd learned to adapt a bit about working online. But obviously, it's not without its challenges. Like we said, Chris and I haven't even met face-to-face, but we've built a really good relationship, likewise with everyone else in the group. I thought the process worked really well because No Nice Better Lives and Pocket Sized Hands worked alongside us, and it was always up to the young people how much or how little they wanted to be involved. And as it came out through doing the game, we did find the likes of Ashley, Chris, Kian and Becky, they were really keen to be involved in the whole process. But we also had, some young people who weren't confident coming on Zoom at the beginning. So Emily helped by creating a parallel pack so they could influence around the game via email. But then the process was that we just had a variety of sessions, really, didn't we? Which looked around scripts, what the actual game looked like, the content, you just went right through the language, and then obviously voiceover. I don't know, Chris and Ashley, do you want to come in and talk about your experience of the process?
For me, I had missed the first initial one. So I was filled in about that, and then I had attended the second one. And then that's when I kind of took in all the information because I had missed it. But that's when I found out about the graphics and all that. And that's when we had conversations about changing certain things and making them look more kind of rough, if that's the answer. And then once I got the script, some of the things that I wouldn't typically say, but I was I'll just go away anyway. And then it wasn't until we got recording that I think it was Chris that said, I wouldn't say this, can I change it? And then Emily was yeah, of course. And then it came to a bit and I think I had stuttered and I was I wouldn't say that that either. And we then had the input and the say to then change the wording, but make it the same, mean the same thing, just different wording that we use, if you know what I mean. So yeah, the whole process was really cool. I'd never done a voiceover online. I'd done it in person with a mic. Do you know what I mean? And you're being told to go over it and over it again. So that was really cool. It was different. And obviously it's getting used to online working and stuff. So yeah.
What do you think, Chris? Because obviously we've spoken about environment of the game, the voiceovers. Ashley's touched on language a wee bit. Is there anything you want to add about the process and how you found it?
I think for me, the process was easy to do and quite fun to do. The only challenges I think we had was how were we actually going to voice record it? So how would that have looked over Zoom was a major challenge. But through that, YouthLink sent out some headsets for us, and that helped us out quite a lot because we could sit at home and record it over Zoom. So it was all pretty easy and smooth. and I quite enjoyed it myself.
Great. And what, from a YouthLink perspective, from an external partnership perspective, Emily, what were the main kind of challenges that you guys found?
I think for me and my colleagues, obviously the biggest challenge was probably the steep learning curve of working out what was behind all the different steps behind designing a game. And luckily we were in kind of safe hands with pocket-sized hands, the developers, they could really guide us through. Though I think there was a lot of learning for them as well, because they had never worked kind of in this way before with young people and developing a game in partnership. So I think probably the process for them was a lot slower than usual. But I think that really helped us to make sure that we had the right input to make the game like the best it could be. And I think all the things that Ashley and Chris were saying about their input was really important for us, and for it to feel authentic and genuine, was really key for us. I think, like kind of Chris and Ashley alluded to, some of the really practical considerations about lockdown and doing this all remotely. But I think actually that worked in our favor in some ways, because if we'd been forced to do it in person, I don't know if everybody would have been able to contribute, if everybody had had to travel to a certain place or to a recording studio. And actually it meant that lots of different people were able to join in when maybe they wouldn't have been able to before. So although there was some definite logistical challenges about making sure scripts were sent out in advance, and like Chris said, the headsets and, you know, working out what everybody's kind of technical setups were at home and how we could kind of use the setups that we had was all really good learning, but actually facilitated us to do, I think, to have like the most authentic and genuine and perhaps more young people involvement than we might have had if we'd have done everything in person.
Yeah. I think the pandemic's thrown up a lot of things like that. Chris and Ashley, what did you enjoy most about creating No Danger? What's the best bit for you, Chris?
I think the best bit for me was the voice recording of it.
Why was that?
Mostly down to the fact that, well, to begin with, the language was just too clean and it was words I wouldn't say, what we wouldn't just say up here, but just being given the freedom to change them. They're just like, yeah, that's fine. They didn't have to do any process. It was changed there and then, and it flowed better. I think being able to be given that sort of power over it.
And what about you, Ashley? What was the best bit for you about creating No Danger?
The best bit for me is like an opportunity, and it's like I can now say that, like, I have Quabby. I can now say that I've done a voiceover and it's going to be in schools. And it's like my pals' kids might see my voice at school. And it's like my kids in the future, or friends of kids, or like people in the family, like, might actually hear my voice. And I think that's really cool. And it's like, with lockdown, like, there wasn't a lot of opportunities. Do you know what I mean? And with that, and with it being online, like, yeah, there was, like, because everyone is from all over, do you know what I mean? I just really enjoyed it. And if you're ever doing it again, give me a shout. I do accents.
This is a podcast, and what you can't see on a podcast is the dead cute wee puppy that Ashley's managing to distract while she's doing this. Okay, so No Danger has been live for a number of weeks now. Emily, what's the feedback been like from young people who've played the game?
Been really positive so far, so definitely we're hoping for, like, obviously a much larger scale rollout to really kind of get a good feel for what young people all over Scotland are thinking about the game. But so far it's been really positive. I think because of the genuineness that Chris, Ashley and the other members of Youth Just Us brought to the game, I think it feels really like close to home, and it doesn't feel like it's something that's been developed by, you know, some gaming people sitting in an office somewhere. You know, it feels like it's something that young people have been involved in, and it feels like real life. So certainly that's the kind of things that we've been hearing from young people. And I think, like Chris and Ashley have said, with the language and the fact that every young person who did the voiceovers added their own spin to the different slang and things like that in the game has really helped young people to feel like it's a young person's game.
So part of the real success of No Danger is the co-production approach that was used. And co-production is something that is close to our hearts here at Staff. Ruth, what advice do you have for anyone looking to co-produce work going forward? You want to talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I think a number of things, really, I suppose, reflecting on the sort of co-production element of this, why I think it worked, and particularly during lockdown as well, is a lot of the things that Ashley reflected on there about there's a real element of creativity in it. So it's got young people interested. We're working towards producing high-end products, but also the process is empowering, exciting, and it's engaging, and young people want to be a part of that. So young people didn't have to have the experience of being affected by knife crime or carrying a knife, and they were never expected to talk about their own personal experiences, but instead it was about looking at what decisions might a young person make, what makes the game feel real life to young people. And that was only developed by co-producing it with young people, asking with them, making changes and continually reflecting that back. I think as well, also recognising different people's expertise and skills, and that's what really works in terms of co-production. So there's not a presumption that young people don't already have the skills, it's harnessing the skills that they have. So whether that's Ashley, you know, being confident doing voiceovers, accents, acting, or Chris feeling really, you know, has got a keen interest in gaming. So he was able to take elements from that, as well as what he knows what's important issues, which young people will find relatable in the language, which will work. But then we've also got people who are at a real sort of top class in their game as well. So working with proper game designers to make a proper game with a good end product as well, and knowing that it's going to be showcased and reviewed and reflected on. I think in terms of more generally, like what we've learned through the project is ensuring that young people are rewarded for their time. So if you can pay them for it, you know, it's their working, so they should be paid for that. If you can't do that, think about the reasons why you can't and talk about that with them. Or can you reward them in different ways? So a big reward, what Ash and Chris has talked about, is the reward of actually having an opportunity. But also the rewards, whether we had a pizza whilst we were doing it or got a gift voucher at the end as well. And I think giving young people the option of how little or how much they want to be involved, and also understanding people have different things going on in their life, so they should have the option to opt in and out, and as well as that, having the actual support around it. I probably could talk about co-production all day, but I think that's some of like the key things that I think are important.
That's a whole other podcast, isn't it? A co-production podcast. Maybe we'll do that one next. Chris, I'm going to ask you a question now. You're a gamer. We all know that you love playing games. So what did you think of the final product?
Really good. Opened my eyes up a bit more as well on how much work goes into designing a game and into coding the game. Opened my eyes up. There's a lot more work that goes into it, what people think. For me, the final product is a really, really good final product. They've took all our ideas on board, they've took our suggestions on board, and they've turned it into something really well made. And it's going to impact a lot of people's lives.
And similarly, Chris, what have you learned from being a part of the game's creation?
Personally, I've reflected a bit more back on the decisions I made when I was younger and why I made them. The game's really made taking me back a wee bit and going, if I chose to carry a knife then, could I have ended up in a similar situation?
Thanks. And what about yourself, Ashley? What have you learned as being a part of this project?
What have I learned? I think I've learned that even though you weren't in a studio and it wasn't the right setting, like, you can do anything anywhere with, like, little to none, like, experience, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need experience to speak, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need experience to be genuine. And it's, like, the thing about the voices is if you had someone from, I don't know, England or someone with a really posh accent, they wouldn't fit it. And then when you are playing that in a Glasgow school, they're all going to take the mick out of that. It's just like when you see someone on telly who plays a Scottish character and the Scottish accent is not where it should be. Do you know what I mean? So it's that kind of authenticity. And it's like there's so many good Scottish voices, good Scottish like actors out there, and it's like they need to be used more. We are a smaller area, but it doesn't mean we're not as talented as other areas.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Okay, Emily, what's next for No Knives Better Lives?
So we've got some big plans for the next year. We've got a big piece of research coming up on what it means to be a boy or a young man in Scotland today, which is going to be really interesting and inform lots of our work going forward. But I think longer term, we really took on board a lot of the things that Youth Just Us said. So actually something we'll be doing this year is really exploring how young people are integrated into our work all the time. That was something I think in the first meeting that they said why isn't there a young person who works for you? And we've really taken that on board. And although it's not something we can do right now, we want to really look at it and explore how we do that well, and make sure we've got kind of all the support in place and all the kind of setup and support so that it's a really worthwhile experience for a young person. So that's what we're going to be exploring this year as well, hopefully with the aim of having a young person more permanently on our team in the next few years.
That's really exciting to see the impact that Chris and Ashley and the other guys have had at Youth Justice and a bigger organisation like YouthLink. That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Emily. And what's next for Youth Justice, guys?
I suppose, I think there's loads, and there's things that we know what's up for us, but we never know what's around the corner. And I think that's the great thing, is working alongside Ash, Chris and all the other members of Youth Justice, for them to shape the project. I think we're in the third year of the project now. I've been like so overwhelmed and delighted by how much they've actually achieved, and also everyone who's involved in the group just now, their willingness to keep with it, keep busy and keep changing things to make things better for other children and young people. So I think a lot of stuff that we've had at the discussion this year with the group is keeping our legacy alive. So a lot of it will be looking at showcasing all the creative work and the wonderful things that young people do. And we'll still be looking to look at whatever development opportunities are for each individual young person. And ultimately, what we're continuing to do is focusing on influencing change. So a few big things coming up with Youth Justice Vision and Action Plan, I think continuing with that. And also a few members of the group have quite creative ideas, and I think they themselves have grown the confidence to want to lead and run their own sessions and look at presentations and outward. So we've got a whole variety of things, really. I'm almost keeping it on the down low, but I don't know, Chris and Ashley, what do you see happen for us next?
Well, for me, maybe having more local groups regarding, so turning our group into like a national steering group in a way, was having little groups and local authorities to help make their own changes there. I just feel like we need to get more young people involved quite quickly. Young people should be at the heart of all this, for me personally.
What do you think then, if you could do a message out to other workers who have maybe heard about Youth Justice and thought about talking to young people about it, what would you tell them? What's the benefits and why should more young people get involved?
They should come along. They should get involved if they're passionate about change. There's things you should know, that you're not pressured to come along each week. You're not pressured to talk in a session. You can just sit in the back of your camera off and your mic off and just sit and listen in. The benefits, what I've got out of it, is I've got a lot of opportunities out of this. I've heard about a lot more opportunities that I've now got myself involved in because of this. And there's a lot of other stuff still coming up all the time. We're always doing something new.
That's great, Chris. I think those are probably the right words to end on this afternoon. So thanks very much, everybody, for your time.
Thank you. Is that okay with you, Chris and Ash?
Yeah.
Well, that was good. Honest to God, it's just that's on the time. Oh, man. Worse than a kid, honestly.
Cool. Right, I'm away. Thanks. I'll speak to you guys later. Bye-bye. Yeah,
thanks, guys. See you later on. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thanks very much for joining us on this episode of The Forum. More information on Nae Danger can be found at www.noknivesbetterlives.com, and more information on staff can be found at www.staff.scot. Thanks for listening.